anyone turn up at church an hour early? Oh, we've got a wee hand at the back. I remember my first year at Stirling Baptist Church, when it was the other way around, when the clocks went forward. I remember I just forgot, and I turned up, and I took lasers on a Sunday morning, and I couldn't understand why the teenagers, there was jackets all over the youth office, and I thought, why are they here so early? I just couldn't understand, and they were entertaining themselves in the sports hall because they had no leader. And then I remember I wanted to ask one of the pastors something, so I was ready to walk through that door in the middle of, obviously, the 9:45 service, and something in my head just stopped me, and I'm just really glad I didn't. So anyway, if you're going to make a fool of yourself, it must have been God. He might have rescued me that morning. Well, we're going to be looking and continuing our theme in looking at 2 Kings. So if you've got your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 22. If you forgive me if I pronounce all the names wrong, I might miss a few. It's just because I'm not a theological scholar. It's just a lot of big names to kind of read. I'm reading from the ESV translation, which is the Bible, I think, that's under the pew. So 2 Kings chapter 22. When Alistair spoke last week, he spoke about Hezekiah and just in a history of kings, when the Israelites wanted a king, God gave them king after king after king, and lots of them, you don't need to know figures, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And there was only two good kings through this time period. And Hezekiah, which is what Alistair touched on last week, was one of them. And today we're going to be looking at the second only good king in that era. So let's start. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of David, his father. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected for the people. And let it be given into the hand of the workmen who have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord repairing the house. That is, to the carpenters and to the builders and to the masons, and let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked from them for the money that is delivered into their hands, for they deal honestly." If only our church worked like that. I'm just kidding. Okay, and Hilkiah, the high priest, accountability is very, very important. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and read it. And Shaphan the secretary came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants had emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And then Shaphan the secretary told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Hilkam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of whoever, and Shaphan, the secretary, and Isaiah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that's written concerning us." So Hilkiah, the priest, and Hilkam and Achbor and Shaphan and Isaiah, I should get a wee round of applause for that, no, I'm just kidding, went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, son of Haras. I think this is good if you're doing history. Keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon the place and upon its inhabitants, and all the words of the book and the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched." But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard. Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolate and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to the grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. They were gathered to him, and the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you will just really speak to us through what we can learn about King Josiah this morning. Lord, I just pray for an openness for your spirit just to work in each and every one of our lives. I just ask this in your precious name. Amen. I don't know if you like change. Some people love change. Some people hate change. I don't know if we've got any, I call them sofa politicians, where you sit on your sofa and you tell David Cameron what to do, shouting at your telly, or you can tell Alex Salmond and think, you know, if I was the Prime Minister, I would do it a lot better. Sometimes I have one of them sitting on my sofa at home. But I don't know if you ever hear these words at home. I mean, sometimes we get really frustrated because change isn't going the way that we want it to go, or the people that are making the change we just don't have a lot of respect for. I don't know if you are a person who likes to implement change. I know when I was a young person, I loved change. When I was a young person, I used to change my bedroom around, even when I was like 6, 7, 8, every week, because it was just fun. You know, it's just something I love to do. I like to change. Mum used to come home, what, you moving your bedroom around again? But it was just fun. But today's story is about a king that implemented great change and just the implications of that. In fact, it was reform. It was radical. It was something that the people had never seen before for quite a number of years. Forgive me if I'm not going to give you a big, massive history lesson, because I'm not Alistair Black. And I don't have any maps this morning to put up on the screen, so I'm sorry about that. But, you know, I think when we're looking at this passage, you don't need to know the complete history, because you can go ahead and read it yourself. But just a quick overview is we've got generations after generations of evil kings. And they were just doing crazy, crazy things in the land, particularly of Judah. The kingdom was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Judah is the southern kingdom. And here we have, like what Alistair talked about last week, it was Hezekiah, who was a good king that did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then he died, and the next king came in place, and the next king came in place. And it was just absolutely crazy. Manasseh, I think God was so angry at the next king after Hezekiah, just because of the evil that was going on, the idolatry, the sexual immorality. People were sacrificing children to other gods. The temple was just a place that was completely corrupt, and people didn't just give any regard for anything with regard to what God wanted and what his plans were. And here you have an 8-year-old little boy who becomes king and does what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And that kind of just blows me away when we think about it, because when we do a kind of overview of the story, we've got this young king that's just seeking God, you know, 8 years old. That is incredible. And as he's doing some reforms and shaking things up, he's clearing out the temple, and he just happens to find this book that's been forgotten for all these years and nobody's reading it. And then when he reads the book, he's totally just broken, because he sees the truth that's in there and thinks, there are people for generations haven't been living like this. And so he is concerned about seeking God's mercy on the whole situation, because if you read the book that we'll mention about in a little bit of time, it talks about judgment, it talks about what's going to happen if you don't keep the commands of the Lord. And then Josiah does something very, very radical. He led a whole nation into reform. He got all the people, and just at that little verse at the end, he got them all to stand and make a declaration before God that they were going to follow God and do what was right in the eyes of the Lord and make a promise to do that. And that, if you ask me, is completely radical. One of the things that I want us to look at is if we're going to make change, okay, I believe we can all be involved in change. You don't have to be a big leader or a big some top shop away up there making change, but all of us can be involved in changes at all different levels in our influence groups and the people groups that we're hanging out with, families. And what I want to look at is how do we make good change? And I want us, I think there's a few things that we can definitely learn from King Josiah. So here we've got a young king that was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. 8 years old, he became king. At 16 years of age, Josiah began to demonstrate a genuine commitment to God. And we get this one little verse, if you read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, that King Josiah sought the Lord for 4 years. And I think, that's incredible. This young king is, you know, seeking God for a substantial amount of time. And I just wondered if he was absolutely overwhelmed by the sin in the land. And when you're looking to change something, do you ever sit there and go, how in the world is that going to happen? He definitely knew that being in God's presence was the best place and to seek God. At 20 years of age, Josiah began to address the problem of idolatry in Judah. He knew what was right and he was going to change things and do. At 26 years of age, he assigned qualified men to oversee the repairs of the temple. The money was all collected, it was all given to the trusted people to go on and do the work. But as this clean-up or restoration work was taking place, this is when they found the book of the law. And we reckon the book of the law was Deuteronomy, okay? It was the book that Moses had given the people. And there's so much in that book. You can go away after tonight and read about Deuteronomy. It talks about blessings, it talks about curses. It talks about the covenant between God and his people and just the plan and purposes that God's got for his people. And this book was found. But one of the things I think of here is this king who's really, really young. Did he grow up without any religious instruction? You know, his father was assassinated because he was so bad and so evil and didn't have any good friends round about him. You know, and here he is, walking in the ways of the Lord. And sometimes when you think of things like that, it kind of maybe out, well, Isaiah was martyred in those early parts of Manasseh's reign, that was his grandfather. Micah died even earlier. When we think about prophets, Jeremiah did not receive his prophetic call until Josiah's 13th year of reign. Habakkuk and Zephaniah probably lived under Amon's reign, which is Josiah's dad. But they were probably severely restricted and prohibited, maybe, of having contact with the king. We don't know. There's lots of information that we don't know. But one of the things that kind of blows me away when we look at this is here is the worst possible environment for a king to grow up in. But within all the history and everything that's taken place, he chooses to follow God. It would have been much easier just to go the other way. And it just kind of really speaks to me when we think, contrary to modern philosophy, environment is not the decider of our destiny. And so many times that stops us fulfilling our plans and our purposes within God because we think, oh, look at my background. I could never be this and I could never do that. But actually, no. If you make a decision that you're going to follow God, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, God has a plan and God has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter where at all that you have come from. I remember my little nephew, quite a few years ago, he was 4 years old and he got a bike for his Christmas. A couple of months after he got his bike, I walked into the sitting room and there he was standing on the seat of the bike. And he was just about to set and put his next foot onto the handlebars. I was like, Sam, what are you doing? He's like, Rosie, I am going to fly. And I just thought, it's just lovely, the total innocence of children. They just believe that they can do anything. They believe that they can be great. I can't remember if he had his little Superman outfit on. But anyway, he just believed that he was going to do something, superpowers and something absolutely incredible. But so many times when we think of this childlike faith and then we come later on to an adulthood, we worry about everything. You know, there's so many things that stop us doing things, security, jobs, and all these things. And sometimes we just have to come back again and just have the faith, just like a little child. Just be up for anything. Are you up for anything? I don't know if you guys have been following the story of Martha Payne. Have you heard of Mary's Meals? The project, it's been all over the news over the last couple of months, the project, the charity that's set up to help provide food for poor children and education in Malawi. And this little girl from Loch Gilped in her Gowland Butte primary school, 9 years of age, set up a blog talking about her school dinners, and she raised £100,000. 9 years old. Isn't it incredible what God can do with our young people? Isn't it incredible that God can start and do something awesome with each and every one of us? Put your hands up if you became a Christian under the age of 21. Do you know, that just speaks and that says it all. The next part I want us to look at is just the finding of the book. There's something incredible when we come to finding the lost book of the law. When we look at this book, Josiah's efforts in restoring the temple through long periods of neglect, because there was so much needing done, and he was on the case, and he was going to clear out all the rubbish. I mean, there was male prostitution going on in this temple. There was rooms for other gods and to worship other gods, and he was like, no, we're going to get rid of everything. We're going to sort it all out. We're going to restore what's been broken. And, this is really, really important. And as they're doing this, they find this book. There's lots of commentary say lots of different things about lost book. Was it something that was really, really lost? Was there different copies? But, you know, what I want us to take away from today is that we know it wasn't read. This book was not read. You know, people weren't reading it. They didn't know. Were their fathers telling them about the exciting things that God did and led them out of the land of Egypt? Nobody was telling anybody anything. And when Josiah got his hands on this book and it was read to him, he was just absolutely overwhelmed by the sin of his forefathers and what had gone before them. And one of the things sometimes I think we can learn a lot. We think we can live our Christian lives and think, yeah, I can do this. I can do great things for God. But we're not spending a lot of time in God's Word. And God's Word is there to help us and to help us understand the character of God, to lead us and guide us into the exciting things that He's there. There's power in the Word of God. I don't know if you've ever heard this story. A story was told of a man who loved old books, and he met an acquaintance who had just thrown away a Bible that had been stored in the attic of his ancestral home for generations. And he said, I couldn't read it, the friend explained. Somebody named Guten something had printed it. And the book lover said, not Gutenberg, the book lover explained in horror. That Bible was one of the first Bibles ever to be printed. Why, a copy was sold for over £2 million. His friend was unimpressed. Mine wouldn't have bought a dollar. There were some scribbles all over it. Some fellow named Martin Luther had scribbled all over it in German. The man didn't have an appreciation at all for what he had. But when we think of Josiah, here he is. He gets the book of the law and he reads it. And not only does he read it, that he stands up and he reads it in front of the people because he wants everyone to know the exciting things that God's done, the plans that God has for his people. He wants them to understand their sin. He wants them to repent. And he wants them to make a promise before God that I will worship God for the rest of my life. And that's something that I think we can all learn from. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, the hearing of God's word, there was something spiritual going on there. You know, it wasn't just a wee reading bedtime book. There was something going on because God had great plans for Josiah and he was birthing things within him. And you know, he tore his clothes. That was his response. And in those customs, the tearing of clothes was a traditional expression of horror or astonishment in the strongest possible term of his grief for the sin of himself and for the account of the nation that went before him as well. This was an expression of deep conviction of sin, you know. And sometimes I think, is it something that we cry over, our sin? Is it something when we come to God and we think, God, I'm really sorry? How often do we come? Or we can so be focused on the story of grace, 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 and yes, it's because grace that we're all Christians. But sometimes we need to come truly and just say, God, you know, I just need to grieve over my sin. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. And you know, as part of seeking out God's mercy, he sends the team, the guys that are around about him, to go and inquire of the Lord for him. I don't know why he sends people away, but he wants to know what God has to say now. Because if you read this book and you don't obey God, this is what happens. And so he sends the troops away, his little team around him, to go and inquire of the prophetess. And she says, I'll just read it just briefly. She says, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, verse 19, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should come to a desolate and a curse, desolation and a curse. And you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. God shows mercy on Josiah because of what he's done. There's been no other king like him, a king that went into the land of Judea and got rid of everything. Everything that didn't honour God, he was going to clear it out. You know, he was very, very thorough. And if you read on to chapter 23, you'll see how thorough he was about the different things that he was doing. There's hope and there's mercy when we don't always get it right. But it's really, really important that we do seek God's face. Do we involve God in all our decisions and plans and purposes? The king got all his people together and they made a covenant to follow the Lord and to keep his commands. Just an overview, Josiah commanded for the temple to be cleansed of all its objects that were made to foreign gods. He burned them outside Jerusalem and carried their ashes to Bethel. He swept through the cities thoroughly, getting rid of anything that was associated with idol worship. His purification was complete, more than any king before him. He unearthed the bones of the idolatrous priests and burned them on Jeroboam's altar, fulfilling a prophecy spoken 300 years earlier during Jeroboam's reign, who was an evil king. Josiah then destroyed the altar. He was thorough. You know, he was going to make big change, and he was going to do it properly, and he was going to do it well, because he loved God. I don't know if, when we read the Bible, how we respond to some of the things that are written there. Frederick Carrington was a member of a wealthy family in England, which owned the Charrington Brewery. His personal fortune was worth absolutely millions solely from just the brewing enterprise. And one night he was walking along the London streets with a few friends, and suddenly the door of a pub just flew open, and this guy, this man staggered out with a woman clinging to him desperately. And the man was obviously very, very drunk, and he was swearing at the woman and he was trying to push her away. And she sobbed and she pleaded with the man, who was her husband. Please, 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 she says, just give me a couple of coins just so that we can feed our children. You know, I've not been fed for a week and they've not been fed for a few days. And she was just begging the man, because he was obviously spending all his money and drink. Her pleas were brutally cut off as her husband just struck her and gave her a good punch and a blow. And she collapsed to the stone pavement like a rag doll. And the man stood over with his fist clenched, ready to do the next one. And Charrington leaped forward and he grabbed the guy and he put his hands behind his back. There was no way he was going to let him do anything else to this woman. And he was with some friends and they got the woman together and they made sure she was okay and they took her to the nearest hospital. And they phoned the police and the police took this man, this drunkard man away. But as Charrington brushed himself off, he noticed a light sign in the window of the pub and it says, "Drink Charrington Ale" at the top. The multi-millionaire brewer was suddenly shaken to the core of his being. He realised that his confrontation with the violent husband would not have happened if the man's brain hadn't been so washed with his family products. When I saw the sign, he later wrote, I was stricken surely as Paul was on the Damascus Road. Here was the source of my family wealth, and it was producing untold human misery before my eyes. Then he pleaded there. And he pledged to God not to spend another penny of that money on himself. You know, change happens in different ways. People respond in different ways when they hear the word of the Lord. Josiah respected the role of the leaders. He could do no wrong. He was a king that just wanted to please God. He maintained a teachable spirit, desiring to hear the words of the Lord. He listened to spiritual rebuke and responded with brokenness, realising how far his people really were from God. And some of the great things that this king did was he brought about restoration of the temple. His godly influence helped to reduce the effects of decades of evil leadership. And he pursued the things of God, not thinking about himself and what I want. But he's like, no, I want to please God. And God rewarded Josiah by helping him, allowing him to live in peace. Later on, he did die in battle. But that was due to another reason, but never saw the devastation poisoned to his nation. That happened later on. And you know, Scripture devotes two entire chapters just to telling you about the great things that this king did. So it must be important. you know, to stand up for what's right. Maybe it could be implementing great change. Do we seek God and we say, God, how can I live my life the best way I can? We've got Halloween coming up. You know, will we stand up for what's right? Or will we just go and join in with everything else that's kind of coming on? One of the things that you notice about anyone who does any great reforms, or if God's going to use you to do any great reforms, it has to come with an inward renewal inside. And that is definitely the story of Josiah. That when he read the word of the law, he was just broken. And he just poured his heart out before God. And sometimes that is not our response when we read the Bible. And maybe it's a challenge that we can look at this morning and say, okay, God, I want to honour you. I want to do the best that I can. But just show me my sins. So many things that are stopping me fulfilling the plans and purposes in our lives. And sometimes it means just a little clear out. And for each one of us, that can be different. There's an analogy of a song that I just absolutely love, and it just blew me away. The guy's called Sean Grooves. And he takes an analogy of a heart and makes it like a house, like a home. And I just want to read you just to kind of close. And this prayer in the song was, take me, make me all you want me to be, Lord. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. Welcome to this heart of mine. I'm buried under prideful vines. I've grown to hide the mess I've made inside of me. Come decorate, Lord. Open up the creaking door and walk upon the dusty floor. Scrape away the guilty stains until no sin or shame remains. Spread your love upon the walls and occupy the empty halls until the man I am is faded and there's no more doors are barricaded. Come inside this heart of mine. It's not my own. Make it home. Come and take this heart and make it all your own. Welcome home. Take a seat, pull up a chair, forgive me for the disrepair and the souvenirs from floor to ceiling gathered on my search for meaning. And every closet's filled with clutter, messes yet to be discovered. I'm overwhelmed, I understand. I can't make this place all that you can. Come inside this heart of mine. It's not my own. Make it home. Take me. Make me all you want me to be. That's all I'm asking. And that was his prayer. That was Josiah's prayer. What was David's prayer? Create in me a clean heart after he sinned with Bathsheba and restore a right spirit unto me. And I just pray that that would be all of our prayers this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you've got a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. But Lord, so often sin gets in the way, and sometimes it's just the little subtle things. But God, I pray that you will just take out all the rubbish and let us have a true grasp of your word and your broken heart for your people. So much so, God, that it makes us want to change things, that it makes us want to do what's right. It makes us want to stand up for you. It makes us want to be available for you to do whatever you want to do. I just ask that you will come and do this morning in your precious name. Amen. Just want to